Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Ziva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are talking about the infamous Lucy Does a TV commercial. A lot of people just call it the Vitamita Vegemin episode.
Yeah.
But the real name is Lucy Does a TV commercial. It aired May 5th, 1952. It is season one, episode 30.
There's a lot of episodes in this season.
I was going to say, it's not all our fault, right? Because if we were doing something nowadays, right? There'd be like 15 episodes. We'd already be through season two.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And we'd have to wait for it to stream. But yes, exactly. This is, so I think this is what, 35 in the first season?
Yeah, there's a crazy amount of first episodes. It's not all our fault.
Yeah.
Directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. Filmed March 28th, 1952. The synopsis of this is that Ricky's doing a TV show and Lucy finagles her way into it.
Finagle, I like that.
To be an ad woman. She does an ad and she does not realize that the health tonic she's selling, advertising, is full of alcohol. And of course, as she does it, more and more shenanigans happen. So this is, I mean, you ask anyone, right, what their favorite Lucy show is, or even people that don't know a whole lot of I Love Lucy.
Yeah,
and
just,
you know, the first one's like, the Vitamita Vegemin one. I like that one. It's probably the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable moments in TV history. In 2009, TV Guide ranked it number 4 on their list of TV's top 100 episodes of all time. So, I mean,
yeah, you couple huge. That with like job switching, which people know as like the Candy Factory episode.
Oh, and that Italian movie. The
grape stomping
one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then later on, perhaps Lucy's fake nose in the Hollywood episode. I mean, there's a lot of iconic.
Not a lot
ones.
Of one note. Well, yeah, but I feel like there are big ones for fans, and there's big ones for people that don't know a whole lot about
That's
it.
That's true. That's true.
Right? Yeah, so you mentioned the nose falling off one, and people are like, "Oh yeah, I know mm-hmm. that one." But
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if someone who doesn't watch it a whole lot would be like, "Oh." Yeah, I know that, you know.
And I think people who don't know the show too well always call it something else rather than the title of the episode. So like like you just mentioned the Vitamita Vegemin, that's not what it's called.
And, yeah. You know. So you're not a fan. No.
Yeah. The Candy Factory one. Mm.
a novice. I know who I'm talking to now.
Okay. So yeah, so it's a great scene. I mean, it's a short scene, but it's iconic. Well, when we get there, it'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
So she starts off darning socks.
Wait.
She's not darning socks. Ziva's got some.
She's not even there. This episode was so popular in its initial airing that they got requests for a repeat episode, which they did later.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first episode. And I found this in my note. Like, I have it in my notes, but I want to check it with you because it says it's the first episode that Desi received producer's credit.
The
one he did directors?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So he's just getting all the credit now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to talk about how this one is very, very similar to
Red Skelton
skit.
Yes.
Did you watch it? Guzzler's Gin. No, is it very similar?
Well, you know, I did see it. The mannerisms are very much alike, you know, because as any Lucille Ball fan knows, she did get a lot of her comedic timing and training from the men in vaudeville in those days. Now, the mannerisms of that commercial or that routine, sorry, are very similar, you know, like he does the drunk and he's holding a bottle of the drink called Guzzler's Gin. The twitching and the slurring are alike, similar, but you can't possibly compare the comedy for me of what Lucy does with it. You know, she takes maybe, you know, inspiration from
it. Takes it a little bit farther.
And makes it her own, because one of my favorite Lucys is a drunk Lucy. When Lucy does drunk, you can't compare. This is one of the things that makes her stand out so much. So men, drunks are funny, but just Lucille Ball herself playing a drunk makes it that much more funny, because it's cute. It's adorable, I think. And it's also, you know, funny. So,
yeah. And I mean,
it was a good vaudeville act or routine.
Yeah. And I've read, if you watch a lot of these old shows, you know, there are a lot of episodes that are very similar between I Love Lucy and Bewitched and some of these older shows. There's a lot of episodes that are kind of just borrowed and then switch to fit that show, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So it's not horribly surprising that you would find a routine or something that she borrowed from. And if it was me, I'm guessing, you know, she talked to him about it. She might have even gotten some help with, like,
absolutely. Yeah. It's just like today. Listen, we're always going to find, you know, even in songs, there's only so many acts, so many lyrics, so many, you know, melodies, and so many ways of making something original. You seriously have to get inspiration from somewhere. Just like many shows have taken inspiration from her, from Lucy. I mean, it's just when you make it your own and you're the one who makes it stand out, that says more about the person, the actor, the actress, the comedian, than what the actual act is. So while I didn't enjoy the Ritz-Carlton one, I appreciated it, you know, for what it was, and could see how she perhaps got inspiration from it.
Now we can
now she's darning socks.
Now she's darning socks. And she somehow darns the part that the foot goes in.
Mm-hmm.
The part that's supposed to be open.
That's something I would totally do, by the way, because that's
really
literally how I would attempt to darn socks. So go buy them.
I fixed it. When she's like, it took 30 minutes to do, you're like, okay.
Bless her.
But for some reason I was gonna call him Benny, so you can see where my head is tonight. Desi.
Oh,
Ricky.
Mr. Benny, Ricardo.
Mr. Ricardo.
Yeah.
Says that he could keep it. She doesn't have to fix it. He'll use it as a blackjack.
Now, immediately when you open up the scene, what stands out to you immediately is the placement of this television set.
Placement. Oh, yeah. And they definitely do. I mean, the whole living room, right,
is all moved around.
It's all different so that you can see this television in the background.
In the corner.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, okay, that's different than normal.
Right. It's just sitting there. You don't ever acknowledge. And then you never see it again until it's actually a focal point. Like when Fred comes in to break it.
And the court has.
Yeah.
So it's, or when they're watching something and they're like, oh, we need to talk or something. Like, yeah, it is only is ever seen right when it's a focal point.
And we have no Ethel in this episode.
Yes, we don't. And we don't know why. So, I mean, Ethel... Fred says that Ethel went to go see her mother, but so apparently she hasn't passed away yet. But
and they never address it. That? Yes, they never address it too when she does pass.
Yeah, they talk that she does pass, but not yet.
No, very much alive.
The actress Vivian Vance isn't here yet. You know, it could just be a sick day. It could have been other things. You know, I read that, you know, this is at the time where she was in a relationship with her abusive husband,
Phil Ober.
That we talked about.
Yeah, he was the one who makes appearances on Lucy.
Yeah. It wasn't like Fred who missed because he wanted to see
the Yankees.
The Yankees, right? Yeah. Like,
and so whenever Ethel's gone, somebody has to take always those sort of lines, and they're given to Fred. And it's, you know, kind of obvious how they try to kind of change it around a little bit to fit, because she needs somebody, a partner in crime, to do these things. So naturally it would be Ethel. So it was Fred's turn to help her turn on the television, quote unquote. So
they're darning and he's getting ready to go. And she's like, where are you going? And he went, you know, rehearsal, it has to be done. And I love when she's like, you know, wouldn't it just be easier to get good musicians?
That's really good. Because she says, you've gone to rehearsal every day this week. Wouldn't it be easier to get just better musicians. And then Jerry calls, because Jerry always calls with a crisis to set up the entire episode.
Why does Ricky never take it in another room? He hears that it's Jerry.
And he's so loud about it. Calls to say that there's a, you know, they need a girl for the commercial, because of course they do. And so, you know, Lucy's ears perks up, and then he's, you know, realizes that, and he does it in Spanish.
The way he like looks at her before he starts speaking in Spanish, it's great. Mm-hmm. What is he saying in Spanish? Just basically talking about.
Oh, he's saying that, you know, why do you call me here to tell me this? You know that you shouldn't be telling me this in front of my wife because she's listening.
Okay.
So that's the Spanish that he goes into. And so she wants to know what it is, of course, because this is another opportunity for her to try and get in on it. And he says, a TV show that you can't be on again.
Yeah, it's too important. Mm-hmm. You know, he basically is like, nope, can't do it. I've got to go rehearse. And he does. And that's when Fred comes in. This is like you were saying, this is when normally, right, Ethel would come in and they'd have these lines. But Fred comes in instead. He says, you know, Ethel's away at her mother's, and I want to know if you need anything to do. And Lucy's like, what? You want to do something, basically. You want to work while she's gone? And it's like, loafing's just not as fun.
When she's not,
she's
like,
not there to nag me.
Nag him.
So this is when they scheme up, right? So she tells.
She says that she wants to be in a commercial that, you know, Ricky won't let her.
Ricky's doing.
Yes. And so she wants to sort of audition for him, I guess, by doing this commercial and, you know, enlisting Fred's help. And she says, when you come over tonight and turn on the television, guess who's going to be on it? And he says, I can only hope it's Faye Emerson, which is a very glamorous stage and screen actress turned TV hostess who had her own variety show. If you see a photo of her, she's a very attractive lady who, you know, Fred would have thought of anyway.
Yeah. Wait, before Lucy goes into her little scheme, right? Fred at one point is like, well, how about you just relax and forget about it? He's like trying to change the subject.
Yeah.
Which is something Ethel wouldn't do. Normally is all like, let's figure this out. After he said that, I was like, when in the history of ever in knowing Lucy has she ever just relaxed and forgotten about it? Like you don't know her very well. He's like, okay, we'll do that. And so he's waiting there by the TV.
So obvious.
Beautifully, he's, right? Like,
yes, he's leaning against it when Ricky comes in at night and you know, there's a show I want to watch and ours is on the Fritz. Again, this TV is so obviously blatantly in the center of the entire living room.
Right. With the, like the screen that's drawn out, like the waiting signal.
Oh, yes. That's right.
and of course, you know, he's like, something's really good is coming on. And Ricky goes at 27 or 25, whatever, 20 something after 4. And because it is, nothing would be coming on.
Right.
At such a random time, sit down. And of course, who pops up? But Lucy.
The way the screen flips up, and it, you know, like a, what do you call it? Just like a little curtain that goes up.
I don't see those anymore. We used to have those, right?
For what?
We used to have those in my house. I don't see them like ever. Oh, the yeah, fold-out
now,
ones.
Yeah, but now they're just individual blinds. She's dressed up as Johnny the Bellboy from the Philip Morris commercial, which is such another blatant product placement. So good.
But so before she even like starts getting into it though, right? She tries to start and then she drops it, which I don't know.
The cigarette.
At first I thought like, that's gotta be a mistake. Like it just was a mistake, but he came up with a 3D line so quickly that I didn't know if it was a mistake. Like if it was real that she should have dropped it. Cause you could kind of see like if she's just doing it, how she could accidentally drop it. Mm-hmm. But, and I thought maybe at first, like when I first started watching this, I was like, oh wow, she just messed up, you know, but now the way he just came up with the 3D so quickly.
You think it was improvised?
It could be. It could be, but like the way he came up with it so quickly makes me think that
the line was perhaps improvised.
That it was written. No, that
Oh, okay. Without
it being written.
Yeah.
Like, I think that this drop was purposeful. And another reason I think that is because at this time, 3D TV was really big.
Mm-hmm.
It was a new thing that they were trying out. And it kind of faded out a little bit and then came back a little in recent times. And then, I don't know, it's kind of faded out again. It just hasn't been embraced, right, really. She starts saying the Philip Morris, America's most enjoyable cigarette, presents the Lucy Ricardo Show.
The Lucy Ricardo Show.
And at this point, Ricky's like, nope, I think I'm going to change
the channel.
He even gets up to change it. He's like, I don't think this is a good show just by hearing the name.
Yeah.
And it goes to turn it off. And I love how she just snaps at him. Like,
yeah,
no, you stop
that now. Go back and sit down.
Yeah, in the show, she's, you know, dressed like him. The scenes where there's a direct reference to the sponsor,
mm-hmm.
of Philip Morris. So right. America's most enjoyable cigarettes presents was cut out. The Philip Morris, that part was cut out, and she can still be seen, obviously, holding the product and dressed like Johnny the Bellboy, but it wasn't the direct, but the scenes were restored for the DVD later on.
Yeah. So after you know, she does that commercial, you know, they clap, you know, for her performance, and he goes behind her to ask what she did with all the parts, you know, that make the television work. And he goes to plug in the television set, which, why would you do that? Electricity.
All of the stuff is out.
Yeah, but right? Why?
So there shouldn't have been anything to spark like that.
That's true.
Like, she took everything out of it, so nothing should have happened.
Well, something does happen. But also,
you're right. If you even remotely thought that there is something still in there, right? You're right. Why would you plug it in while someone was in there?
Because even if it's completely empty, you're maneuvering to plug in electricity. So it's still a risk. And clearly a realistic one, because, you know, you get sparks and explosions and, you know, smoke coming out of the television set. and she said,
he freaks, you know, out.
And he apologizes. Like,
are you sorry?
Yeah. You're really sorry. Sorry this. Enough to put me in the show. No,
no,
of course not. So he's like, where's all the parts? No, where's the part?
Where is it?
The part. She's like, what? Like, as in one singular part. And she took it out piece by piece. She rolls it out in a cart and it's all in shambles. Of course, that means the whole thing is broken. And if you look at the screen thing, it's not like a glass. It looks like it's made of fabric of some kind. Of course, it's like a prop, I'm sure. But it's not made of glass.
Yeah, you wouldn't even be able to see through it probably, mm-hmm. in real life. The next scene is the next morning, right? Ricky is getting ready bedroom. For work. And I love how Lucy like looks over to see that he's coming out before she like crosses her arms and gets huffy. I was like, I would so do this. Like, I'm not going to be angry if I don't need to be angry.
You're wasting your energy.
Right.
Wait for the performance when he walks through the door. So, you know, even if it's sad or happy or mad, you got to wait till the person's there. Otherwise,
like, I'm just going to relax until they get here. And then
why are we like this? And so, yeah, she waits for him to walk inside the bedroom to give him the cold shoulder. And she's not talking to him. And he's like, that's fine if you don't want to talk to me, but will you make me something to eat? Because he's
hungry.
Why
doesn't he just go someplace and buy something?
Yeah. And he's like, what do you want me to do? Starve to death? And this
would
line,
you please?
Oh my gosh. Would you please? Oh, it's so good. And so, you know, she's happy. He says that now they have to fix the television. She's happy it's broken, so she doesn't have to see him on television, you know, because she's just really upset that he won't let her be on it. So he calls Fred to come up because he needs a favor, something she was probably going to ask Lucy to do. But since they're not on speaking terms for.
Hey, he says something in Spanish as he's picking up the phone. What does he say?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what he says. I don't remember that line. Probably calling her crazy, but I don't remember what the line was.
I've got like a translation to an extent of it, but mm-hmm. like I don't know if it's 100%.
Okay.
He's basically saying, like, I don't know what happened to this woman. Each time, each week, you know, the head gets worse and worse.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave. Yes. She's completely wrong about everything. I don't know what happened to her.
Now I remember. That's exactly what he says.
Basically calling her crazy.
Yeah. So then Fred comes up. No, it's on the phone. And she's listening in from the hallway, I suppose, or from the little closet area that... an actress, I suppose, that's going to be doing the commercials, going to call to get a time and location of where to show up to do this commercial. And he wants Fred to come up and wait to tell her this information. Lucy's listening in on all the information, and now she knows where to go to do this commercial. So Fred comes up and, you know, I love how she's just laying around. She pretends to just be laying around in her nightgown.
Yeah, she comes in. She's like, oh, hi. Because on the phone, he just says, come up. And then when Fred comes up, that's when he tells him all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're just waking up. He picks up a radio and television mirror. Mm-hmm. It's from April 1949. So it's about 3 years old already. And I just love that because I was like, Godfrey was one of Lucille Ball's favorite performers.
Mm-hmm. He was on the cover.
He was the one on the cover, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did kind of fall out of favor from the public. And so he did, that's when she invited him to appear in the 1965 episode of I Love Lucy. Or the Lucy Show, yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Like, I missed that one.
Get it right.
How many seasons is this? We're only on season one.
Yeah, no. So she comes out and she's like, you know, it's silly for you to have to wait around when I can just give this message. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just tell me and then I will relay it to the woman who calls.
Right.
And just as he's about to tell her, no, Studio 10 Television Center at 1 o'clock, uh-huh. You know, or whatever center. And he looks at her like, how do you know that?
Where Ricky has all his auditions.
Right. Isn't all of his TV shows. I was like, isn't this his first time on TV? Am I wrong about that?
Does he mention it's his first time? I didn't catch that. Perhaps.
No. He didn't mention it, but like you would think that if he had other times on TV, it would be mentioned. Yes.
And so she, of course, the actress calls in and looking for her information. And, you know, Ricky wants me to tell you that, or Mr. Ricardo wanted me to relay that you are no longer needed because they found somebody else. First of all,
somebody better. No.
First of all, let's talk about how sad that was, because this person was probably really excited about this job and all of a sudden it's like, never mind, we don't need you. I don't know why she's
at
British,
least
but
he didn't get tied up and put in the closet.
That's right. Yeah, that's very dramatic and unnecessary, my goodness. So
yeah, that's verging on like
illegal, like criminal, illegal. Yeah. Kidnapping.
So yes, yeah, so then after that it fades to the next scene, which is her directing. Yeah, she introduces herself, the director, as Lucy McGillicuddy.
And so she's wearing the dress that was from the previous, the freezer episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time we see this outfit. It's a very, you know, infamous outfit now, whenever.
Because of this episode. You know,
course,
a lot of people forget she wore it the episode before.
Right. It didn't make quite the impact. Yeah. So she comes in, she's got the script in her hand, and she introduces herself, like you said, to the director as Lucille McGillicuddy. Ross Elliott uses his own name, and Jerry Hausner plays Joe, his stage manager. Elliott would appear on two future episodes as Ricky's publicity agent. He would play a director once again on the 1965 episode of The Lucy Show. Jerry Hausner actually made 10 appearances on this series, and this is the only time he doesn't play Jerry the agent, a role he created in the pilot but was minimized in the series itself.
He did play Jerry in this episode, just not in person.
Oh yeah, on the phone. Yeah. What did I miss?
No, he didn't.
Oh my gosh. Yes, he does have a conversation with him. And then they mention Maury, which is of course a nod to Maury Thompson, the actual I Love Lucy script supervisor. And we only see him from the back, but Lucy planted him directly in front of her so that he could mouth the words if she forgets the lines. which she did not. You hear Jess Oppenheimer from the control room. This is the first we hear.
Who is he?
Yes, the first time we hear of Jess Oppenheimer, the series writer producer, likely from the actual Desilu Playhouse. This is where, yeah, is it Jerry? I'm sorry, is it Jerry or is it Ross who says, you know, Ricky sure knows how to pick him.
Yes, that was.
Oh, thanks.
That was Jerry. Yeah. Yeah. He does know how. But then, you know, she's like, I kind of remember them. For someone who kind of remembers her script, she just does it perfectly the first time. Do you want to do it?
Oh, the script, sure. Now, of course, yeah. The funny part here is Lucy goes to get prepared for it. They're discussing that the tonic has 23% alcohol. By the way, yes. The former episode we recorded, you were aghast that I've never been drunk before. I forgot to post that. I think it will. And I think, just to answer your question about what kind of drunk, I think this is the kind of drunk I would probably be.
This drunk.
I would be this person.
I could see it. I could
would
see
just
it.
Go from like, oh, this tastes great, to just absolutely, what's happening, you know?
They originally had it at 11% alcohol.
Right.
But then they realized, like, people might have a hard time believing that she got that drunk that quickly. You know, with
so little,
not with so little, but it was little. I mean, she was taking tablespoons of it, right?
Yeah.
But she, at 26%, it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So she starts off, of course, so they tell her to go ahead and go, and she's nervous. I love that, you know, because when you juxtapose the beginning of it to how she ends up, she's so nervous. So she says, "Hello, friends. I'm your vitamin and vegetable girl. Are you tired, run down, listless? Do you poop at a do you poop at
Are
parties?
You unpopular?
Are you unpopular? The answer to all your problems is in this little bottle, or bit-a-lottle, as she later calls it. Vitamita-Vegemin. Vitamita-Vegemin contains vitamins, meats, vegetables, and minerals. Yes, with Vitamita-Vegemin, you can spoon your way to health. All you do is take a tablespoon after every meal." And then she does. "It's so tasty, too. It's just like candy. So why don't you join the thousands of happy, peppy people and get a great big bottle of Vitamita Vegemin tomorrow?" That's Vitamita Vegemin.
Vegemin. I love the happy, peppy people. Say that like 10 times fast. Happy, join the thousands people. Of happy, peppy people. Yeah. So, you know, the first time she's very, you know, nervous, hello, friends. Coy. You know, and she gets, you get more and more comfortable. She does it well. She does. And Ricky comes out and.
But what I love is the first time she tastes it, because she's supposed to taste it.
Oh,
is,
yeah.
She,
oh,
it's just
goodness.
Kind of like. Yeah.
She hates
like,
it.
It's like when a baby tastes, you know, cough medicine or something, they make that face. That's exactly what she does here.
It probably tastes like 23% alcohol.
Yeah. And so what they use for this, for the scene, is apple. Is it pectin? And
yeah, did you look that up?
It is. Yes. It's a type of soluble fiber. It comes from apples, of course, and it's used to thicken jams and preserves. And it's also used as a dietary supplement. So it's thick enough so you can see it, you know, for television purposes.
Right. Because it's supposed to be
pour, like a syrup. And so she, you know, and Lucy said, Lucille Ball said that it was just, it got gross after a few times.
Sickening, really.
Yeah, of
drinking so much of it.
She found it sickening. So now does Ricky come in after the first or the first couple of them? Because I think it's
the
like,
first few. It's okay, the first few
tries. Yeah.
Already had a few sprinkles of this. So but good. She's still doing it well right. enough for him to say, okay, you can do it tomorrow. I do love when he's like McGillicuddy, you know.
McGillicuddy. He says
McGillicuddy. But he doesn't rat her out, which is interesting to me. But then he's like, yeah, you know what? Just for tonight, we'll find someone else. Probably call that woman back, he said.
And what I love is that Desi is trying to hold in the laughter as.
Oh, you can see it.
Says, yeah. So let me see the commercial. So she does it for him. She does it really quick because she's still sober at this point. And so she does it real quick. And he's like, fine, only because we're last minute. And, you know, you called the other girl to not yeah. come in. So do it.
You can hear him also laughing off camera later on. Mm-hmm. And I guess Ross Elliott was said to that he had to bite the inside of his cheek so that he didn't laugh,
it was very
out loud during this. So a lot of people were having a hard time. She does it a few more times, and then it's the very iconic, and maybe we can put it on here, last bit of it, where she does say, are you unpopular?
Yeah.
Or,
do you pop out at parties?
Are you unpopular?
Now, this is one of those infamous scenes that has been redone over and over and over again. I've yet to see, you're never going to get a Lucille Ball. I'm not even looking for that, but I've yet to see a version of it that would make me even chuckle or crack a smile. Although I did like our friend Carrie's. I've seen hers on I think it's YouTube. And it's cute. I really like hers, but I'm just saying Deborah Messing did it and other actors, do it. And it just doesn't land well, perhaps because your expectations are up here and,
I do also say that though I love to see people trying to replicate it on TikTok and things like that, when they use her voice but they don't have the comedic timing and acting that she did while that her voice is playing, it's just there's something in there for me, right, that doesn't
Lucille compute Ball, right?
Like it
very,
just doesn't
actually
it was like Ball, at least use Lucy, your own voice, right?
Lucy Ricardo then, is a very difficult and also when you have such a high regard like we do, it's hard to accept it. There's some actors where they become the whoever they're doing, real life biopics and things like that, and then there's being the Ricardos. Okay, so
I knew you were gonna say that. I knew it.
Oh, such a hater.
I was like, just wait for it.
Somewhere Nicole's minding her own business and I'm over here just
she's already moved on.
She's on four movies.
You know
later.
What?
You know, I'm like
she got paid. She moved on. Did she get awards? She's already moved on.
She forgot she did the film.
Oh, was I in that?
Oh. I know, she's British.
Anyways, everyone's British today.
Right. So of course she gets drunker and drunker. It's so hilarious.
I don't know how they don't catch on, right? They've got to know the product that they're selling, right?
I mean, to the point where she's no longer doing
it's
the
so
hot scoop.
In here. Oh yeah. Yeah, she just pours it
she just
in.
Pours
right?
it in her mouth, and then she's like, "Really? It is?
Looking
like,
it up? Like you gotta know that something's
right
up."
Oh yeah, I love that when she's getting so hot in there. She's like, "Is it hot in here for you?" And they're all placating her because I think they've noticed she's getting a little loopy. And so they say, "Yeah, it's pretty hot in here."
And getting hot is something that happens when you get drunk.
Noted.
Mm-hmm.
Noted.
So
okay,
good to know. So Joe, right? Mm-hmm. Joe.
Yeah, she puts her arm around him. And she's just draping her body.
They don't think to take it away from her. Like she just takes the whole bottle with her. Like,
so they're going to put her in one
guys,
of the rooms.
If you want to think about how much she's drank of this and how much, I don't know off the top of my head.
It's a lot.
how much, like say vodka, that's a similar size to like a vodka bottle you can get. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's a lot, guys. And then they were like, yeah, she's going to go. So I guess it's 40% alcohol.
Oh my.
But it is alcohol, right? Like it's actually alcohol. Mm-hmm. So for this to be a health elixir at half of that, and then for them to be like, oh, she's going to take it to the back with her. That sounds smart. Anyways.
Yeah, so they take her
to the back
to rest.
Yeah,
to get some rest before the show. Before they have to, Ricky comes in to do the show. So she goes off stage, and now they're all calling Ricky to come in and do the song that he's going to do.
Well, before he even comes on, Joe comes back out and he's looking for Lucy. Now, I think this is really funny. It's just a little blooper, but if you look as he's asking for Lucy, you can see Lucy in the background
between the
standing
two sets.
There, literally just standing there waiting
for her cue
to come on. Yeah. And you're like, oh, she's right there, right behind you.
In the living room, because I see her
and
couch.
Then, and then, yeah, as she like, I think when he's singing, you can see more clearly behind her. And that's when you see it's the apartment in her living room.
Yeah, that's one of those fun bloopers that I think has been known for a little bit, is that, you know, you can see right where she's waiting. And that's when they start panicking, or not panicking, but just rushing to get
like find her things.
Yeah,
because we're on in 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Seconds. Ricky is hosting your Saturday Night Variety, and I will let you say the name of the song that you sing.
It's called El Relicario, which is the reliquary.
Don't know.
Reliquary. Boy, my English is just as good as my Spanish these days. So it's a paso doble composed by Jose Padilla in 1914 with lyrics by Armando Oliveros. I can actually hear it in my head right now as it's playing, because I know Lucy also tries to imitate what he does. And yes. Jose Maria Castevi. The song deals with a bullfighter, which is indicated in some of Desi Arnaz's gestures while singing. And in 1952, the year this episode first aired, Eisenhower proclaimed his candidacy for president while a band played his song and became the musical theme of his campaign, which I didn't know. I find that interesting that that would be the campaign song, because it's very, Spanish, like a Spanish themed song. So what's funny is I think this is one of those infamous ones, because she's inebriated. She's staring off on the side and watching him sing with, you know, lovingly staring at him. And so when he starts to sing, she walks towards him. And that's when all heck breaks loose, because now you have a drunken Lucy crashing his performance.
Yes. Real quick, before he starts singing, he looks past the cameras, and he's like, Mr. Hatch,
if you will,
please, which is Wilbur Hatch, which is the conductor of the Desi Arnaz Orchestra.
Yes.
But anyways, yes, you can see as he's singing, he's trying to like push her away, right? And she's just right there.
She's trying to hug him. She's trying to like hang off of him, and she greets Ethel and Fred.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Ethel. And then she does start singing, mimicking him.
You know what's cute is about years ago, maybe I was in a teenager, I went to Universal Studios in Hollywood, and they had, you know, the Lucy imitator, and she did that thing into my camera at the time, not a phone, but an actual like, you know, camcorder. And she did the whole hi Ethel, hi Fred, just like she does here. It always sticks in my mind. She's inebriated, and he's trying to like push her out of the scene, because he's trying to sing this song, and she's just trying to sing the way he does until he picks her up, right, and takes her off.
Finishes the song first.
Oh yeah,
then he goes, olé! Successfully pushes her away, right? They say olé. And then he pushes her away. She thinks she's like leaving. He's like, haha, funny. It looks like he's going to try to play it off, right? And then that's when she comes out and she's like, hi, everyone. I'm your Vitamija Vigi man.
She can't even say the name.
And that's when he freaks out. He picks her up and takes her off stage.
Oh, that's so good. That is really, really good. That is one of those iconic scenes or episodes that will always, you know, stick in your mind. But it closes off with that, like we mentioned, no Ethel here, just that was the center of the entire episode, really. I forget that she does the whole TV thing. I just getting her whole body into the television set.
There are a few things that I want to talk about like afterwards. One is she ends up doing another commercial. It's obviously not nearly as iconic, in the Here's Lucy episode, which I love. And she's doing it with pickles.
Okay.
So she doesn't have to get drunk, right? So it just doesn't progress that way.
Yeah.
But listen to this
The script. Commercial. Okay.
Yes. Thank goodness I remembered to bring Polly Parker's pickle, perky pickles. Mmm, they're delicious. Yes, Polly Parker's perky pickles make any picnic perfect. Polly's pickles will tickle your palate. So next time you're planning a picnic, pick up a pint of Polly Parker's perky pickles.
Oh my God.
Like, my goodness.
Like, that is good.
All the Polly Parker, it's a tongue twister.
Wow, that's really good. That's on Here's Lucy?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a lot of, so in 2011, more than 900 Lucille Ball lookalikes gathered under a Vita Meta Vegemin sign in honor of Lucille Ball's 100th birthday.
Oh.
So that's interesting. There's actually a photo of it, and it's really kind of creepy. This is interesting, but Randy Rainbow's November 2019 Trump impeachment video. I am not saying either way, guys. It's just what it is. Starts with him referring to witness Vindman as Lieutenant Colonel Vita Meta Vegemin.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
So, and then in April 9th, 2020, Will and Grace dedicated an entire episode to I Love Lucy. And so Deborah Messing performs the Vita Meta Vegemin routine.
Yeah, that was that episode. That was a favorite. That's a memorable one. And I'm glad we did it because they're not, there's maybe like
we had five. To. It was the next one in the episode.
Well, there's that. But I just like when we discuss the iconic ones, you know, like when we get to the job switching and things like that.
That'll be fun. We'll have to like eat.
Ooh,
chocolate while we're doing it. Not maybe how they're eating it, but
full conveyor belt. And with that, unless you want
there
to add
there are only
else,
five more episodes
in season one.
The season, we're almost done. And that's it, guys. That's the end of the podcast.
That's funny. Yeah, we just did 1 year. We
just ended one season.
1 year, one season. That's funny.
Yeah.
So with that, our next one, I hope you guys have listened to our, you know, kind of a spinoff, if you will, of a George Reeves episode we did discussing the death of George Reeves. It's just something that we're trying. We'll be doing a few stories like that. Ziva will be, you know, helping or doing the Bob Crane episode, and just we're trying something new. So if you guys haven't heard it yet, please do so and let us know if you like the George Reeves Superman
mysterious. We got a little bit of feedback and it's been positive so far, but we do want to know what you guys think of that, and if you guys just are like, oh, it's another one of those, skip, or if you listen to, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes with podcasts I'm like, I just come here for this certain one, you know, and when you do something else I'm not as interested, but, and so that's fair if you guys aren't, but like, let us know and then we can keep doing that.
Absolutely.
So I don't know.
Find us everywhere on havingaballpod@gmail.com, having a ball podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, having a ball pod, TikTok. I don't know if there's videos up TikTok. And all the streaming services.
Streaming services.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.